This show was taped on new gear with the same attitude.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
And now it's time for the show that is the audio equivalent of the Columbia House offer. Sounds good, but sucks later. It's Saturday Night Naps Out.
Hey, Saturday Nighters, welcome back to the show. Let's get to it because there's a lot to get to. Before we jump headfirst into the pile of dead leaves called this show, I'd love to tell you about our new sponsor, the old San Diego Haunted Museum House. That's right. Look for something different to do next time you empty your savings account on a little vacation getaway that will also take you out of your normal life routine, thus putting a ton of pressure on you to catch up once you get back. Then head on over to Old San Diego Haunted Museum House and take a spooky tour. Built in 1854 in land that probably wasn't ours to begin with, this accursed domicile was recently named the most haunted house in all of America by a travel magazine trying to get you to take a vacation in San Diego. Come learn a lot about our own history as you hear the story of a rich family trying hard to take advantage of the brand new industries rapidly forming in a country using God as an excuse to stomp over everything in its path. Is the house actually haunted? Well, according to the 24-year-old tour guide who picked up some extra shifts on the weekend to help cover his rising tuition costs at one of the big local colleges, yes. Listen, as he quickly recites a memorized script detailing all the places in the house that could be haunted if you just closed your eyes and imagined that there were ghosts there. Need proof? Don't worry. Go to the gift shop and pick up a t-shirt with an artist rendering of Boston Billy, the criminal executed on this property in 1852 that makes perfect sense to be the ghost haunting the shadows of this stuffy mansion that wouldn't even count as a one-bedroom apartment on Zillow these days. If the ghost wasn't real, would it be on a t-shirt? Didn't think so. When you're done straining to hear the tour guide while a group of kids screaming and playing with their parents watch on with a distant look that can only mean they gave up a long time ago, you'll know everything you need to know and kinda think that this is truly the most haunted house in America. So head on down to the Old San Diego Haunted Museum House and use the promo code KenDoesn'tBelieve to get 5% off your ticket and get a free sticker of Boston Billy, the ghost with the most. Offer void for out-of-state residents. And now, on with the show. I am excited to get this show going. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 84 of Saturday Night Knapsack. Crickets. Oh, that never ceases to be entertaining, you know? Hey, we have a studio audience here. I'm kidding. We don't. Thank you. No, that was me using some new gear we have in the studio. And man, we're so excited. Thank you all for supporting Saturday Night Knapsack. Your donations and support on Jemmy have amounted to $12. So thank you for all of you, the support on Patreon. We were able to upgrade some equipment in our gear, just make this show sound wonderful. But it's a lot of fun. We got a lot of bells and whistles. Whoa. You know what I mean? This is going to be great. Whoa. I can't wait to use that one until you all get sick of me. Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Ken, I'm going to stop you right there. If you don't mind, don't press those buttons. They're not for this show.
Come on. It's a sad trombone. I got to play that all day. This takes me back to my early morning show radio days where I was asked to do a lot of this stuff, and I didn't, so I was laid off. Petey, come on. You got these shiny buttons. I got to be able to press the buttons, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm like Luke Skywalker. What's that flashing? I am just like the hero of that saga.
Yep. You're a Jedi indeed. They're not for us. They're for the station. This is an entire network. This show, we don't really use drops and stuff like that. So if you just – plus it's very expensive gear – and you're drinking an open glass, an open container there. So God knows what is in there.
Gin, pure gin. That's what's in there.
Okay. Even water would be worse. I don't. Maybe the alcohol would clean it. But just could you get away from the board and not press anything, not do anything? Okay. Please don't do that again. Okay.
My talent paid for this. My talent is the reason we have it here. So why can't I be treated like the hero that I am? that never is going to get tiring at all. Ah, man. Oh, Petey, have you seen this? Watch this.
I'm talking like a monster.
We can use that voice. We can use that to help with some of the characters around here, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure what you mean, Ken. Every voice you hear on this show is a distinct and unique human with their own thoughts, opinions, and personality. So I don't understand what you're saying.
Destroy the humans. Destroy the humans.
That's hilarious, Petey. You don't want me to use that during the show? You don't want me, you're seriously telling me this is not funny to you?
Hello, I am a small robot ready to take over the Earth.
Wait for it.
Earth.
Man, that's the funniest thing I've ever done. And I perform comedy in a laundromat.
Ken, we don't have a lot of time today. We didn't book a ton of studio time. So maybe you can play with your toys on your own. And just maybe we get on with the show. We got some guests waiting. And just please, for the love of God, don't press those buttons.
Well, you know what, Petey? You're a real killjoy. You straight up sweaty. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Zinged ya. All right. On with the show. Oh, you know what that music means. Are we alone? Are there really ghosts? Does Bigfoot in the woods? I don't know, but here we go. This is not a Mysteries in the Unexplained segment. This is here on the show. We're going to do something a little different today. I wanted to talk to Nolan Guthrie. I am old friends with Nolan Guthrie. We've gone searching for Bigfoot on a weekend or two in our lifetimes. It was a lot of fun. We shared a tent together, got all warm and... at Cozy, that was an interesting night. So there's something in the news, and I wasn't sure about it, and it had some mystery to it. It has some unexplained nature to it, and that made me think of my buddy Nolan Guthrie. So everyone, please welcome to the show, my friend. You know him, you love him, which is one of the most cliche, dumb intros people can give guests. Get something new. Here is Nolan Guthrie. Nolan, how you doing, buddy?
I am good, Ken. It is very good to hear your voice and to have you actually reach out to me. For one, say I have not received a call from you. I have called you, or more importantly, called the producers and said I'd like to come on this week. It happens fewer and fewer times. I was supposed to have like a regular show on this network, like a full 20-minute or more show. That didn't happen. But this is the first time you've called me since Christmas time, 2017. So very happy to hear from you, Ken. What can I help you
with? I mean, for one thing, maybe talk like a little less. That was like a 5-minute segment and just saying hello. Jeepers. All right. Nolan. So here's the thing. I was looking at the news the other day, which you know what that means, pooping. Hey, and I was looking at is it Newsweek or Newsmax? Which is the one that we're supposed to pay attention to more, Nolan? Do you know?
I think you're referring to Newsweek, but Newsmax is something that's out there. I don't. I try not to get too political. I am a researcher of the paranormal and the unexplained. I'm seeking truth. I have discovered that a lot of people who are seeking that truth with me use news sites like Newsmax to really form some alternate truths in the political and social issues of the day. And I don't really do...
Blah, 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 blah. Newsmax or Newsweek? Which one are we reading?
Your producer said we're talking about the Newsweek story about the fossils possibly relating to the Loch Ness Monster, as what I told we were talking about.
Again, you could have just said Newsweek. Yes. No, so there's this headline out there, Loch Ness Monster existence plausible, comma, scientists say. That's a tantalizing headline. So, of course, I clicked on it while my legs were going numb. And fascinating story. They found some bones at the bottom of the lake. I think they're called lochs over there. Not lakes, lochs. And they found some bones. They're like, cool, Loch Ness Monster is real, right? Did I get that right at all, Nolan?
And it's just Loch, no, you didn't get it right. Researchers from the University of Bath and University of Portsmouth in the UK, as well as a university in Morocco, have found fossils of small paleosaurs, and those are the extinct long-neck reptile-like creatures. We'll just say dinosaurs is a catch-all term. Some people might take issue with that. They found these fossils in what used to be an ancient river system. So that is where the story starts.
Okay, so but they didn't find them in Loch Ness. Like I might have misunderstood the story. Hadn't had my second cup of coffee yet. You know, someone's got a case of the Mondays. You know what I mean? So maybe I misunderstood the story a little bit. Nessie. Not found.
Well, at least not in this particular case. There's a lot of compelling evidence out there to say that there is possibly a Nessie or a Nessie-like creature or a relative or something like that. No, but these fossils were discovered in Morocco and Morocco is part of the Sahara Desert, where millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of years ago, it was a body of fresh water. We're talking about the Cretaceous period. I am not an expert by any means of this here. They were fossils of small plesiosaurs is probably plesiosaurs, but again, dinosaurs is probably what you want to hear. That's the word you'll connect with, I'm sure. So we'll just use that going forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're all dinosaurs to me. I don't, there's water dinosaurs, air dinosaurs, Spielberg dinosaurs, bird dinosaurs at the LA Zoo is what I call those ones. I don't need to know the different types. You know, I get it. Hippopotamosaurus, like Bronchiosaurus. I don't really don't care. Was this just an article that was, as the kids would say on TikTok, a clickbait article there, Nolan?
I don't think anyone really uses that term on TikTok, but maybe on Facebook. Yeah, no, it's a real article. It's a scientific discovery of a set of fossils that, were first discovered. These type of fossils for this, as you might call a water dinosaur, was first discovered in 1823. They have the four long flippers, the long necks, and the small heads.
I call those giraffe dinosaurs, right? Water giraffe dinosaurs, would that be more correct?
No, it wouldn't. I take your point, though. It's just, this is an exciting discovery that says that these creatures, these, as you said, water giraffe dinosaurs, were not previously thought to have lived or dwelled in freshwater, only that they lived in seawater. And
right. What is the difference against seawater and freshwater? Which one can Tom Hanks not drink when he's on an island?
That would, I guess by that logic, that would be seawater, Ken.
Nailed that one. Got it. All right, continue, Nolan.
Okay, yeah, great, yeah. No, it's just, it just shows that the possibility does exist that these creatures, with these fossils being discovered in freshwater, the same kind of freshwater found in lochs, such as Loch Ness.
Let me stop right there, Nolan. I want, the internet can be cruel to people who get little minute details wrong, especially if, say, you're hosting like a Lord of the Rings related show. Do not get the details of who the elves did not or did defeat wrong. I'll tell you that much. It's Loch Ness. It's a Loch because, you got to do it with a Scottish accent. Loch.
I don't. Is that a Scottish accent? It sounds like you're choking on mozzarella sticks. But okay, yeah, whatever you say. But the point is, these kind of using your term to be clear to anyone from the scientific community listening, water giraffe dinosaurs were only previously thought to maybe live in seawater, but the fossils were found in freshwater. And that opens up a world of possibilities that scientists, previously had said, maybe it was a closed door on. So it's just an interesting thing. It does not prove anything, but it doesn't disprove it. It just is added to the pile of evidence, whether or not there's an actual Loch Ness monster or there's these type of sea monsters that do show up in paranormal investigations. There's a lot of footage of people have of just weird things in the water, you know?
Oh, don't I know it. When I used to go to the lake as a kid, I every trip to the lake, I'd find a syringe, someone's underpants, and one time I found that guy, Ed, the local town hobo, found his body in a lake. Is that the kind of videos you're talking about?
No, not at all. Those are, maybe you should have contacted the local authorities at the time here. No, I'm just talking about, in general, paranormal research and investigations. There's a lot of people who do believe there's something in these bodies of water. As always, I choose to search, I choose to seek, and until I have an answer, either way, I continue the journey. And I have not seen anything that tells me the Loch Ness is real, but information like this, with the fossils found in fresh water, do make me think that it's possible. And that's what the articles say. The scientists are saying, hey, well, they don't even use the word possible, they say plausible, you know, and that's a subtle difference.
Oh, yeah, kind of like when Vin Scully was calling the Kirk Gibson homer in 88, and he said, in a season that is impossible, the improbable has happened, right? I think that was it. Was that it?
Kat, if that is what it takes for you to understand this, then I am all for that, okay? Fly ball to right field, she is gone. And then Nessie can maybe exist. Yes, got it.
It's a great call, is it not? It's a great call. I wish Vin Scully had some of those in the booth when he was calling that World Series, though. All right, so I'm going to round up this call here because people start losing their attention spans after about 10 minutes, and we've crossed that mark. So to sum up, Loch Ness Monster, not yet real, possibly real, and there are now two kinds of water on the Earth.
Yeah, that's it. All right, my muffins are burning. I've got to go.
He hung up. He hung up on us. He's not over what happened in that tent all those years ago. All right, fade it down. There we go. I thought that was a great interview, Petey. I they say one of the great interviews of our time, and I think that proved it right there. On with the show. And now it's time for a quick check of the weather here on SNN.
I'm Ray McLeods, and this is your SNN weather report. We're in the middle of a hot summer with sizzling heat. Unless you're in one of those countries where the toilet water goes the other way, then you might be in the middle of stone-cold winter in which you're stuck inside with nothing but dark, deep thoughts in your soul. I'm not sure, to be honest. I didn't pay attention to that part of the curriculum in college. Once I stopped talking about the good old U.S. of A., I stopped paying attention, right? Temperatures are high across the land, but we have reached August, so it shouldn't be too much of a surprise that the sun is as hot as a Mexico City weather girl starting an OnlyFans account. Several major metropolitan areas have declared heat warnings, but you don't have to pay attention to those unless you're old, sick, poor, or just plain homeless. So just crank up that AC until you can't feel the needs of others less fortunate than you. If you have a blow-up kiddie pool that can fit adults, now is the time. Though the heat does have a stranglehold on us and forest fires have already begun to rage, it's important to look at the bright side of life. Consider all of this training for the eventual post-apocalyptic world we'll be living in. In fact, if you don't already own a dune buggy, now might be the time to purchase one and make the needed alterations to fight warring gangs of the last of the world's precious resources. Also, look for some light morning fog that will burn off in the afternoon. Cheers. I'm Raiden McLeods, and that was your SNN weather report.
And now here's another true fact about your host, Kat Knapsack. He's overly concerned with how fat he looks on camera, and sometimes he just watches footage of the Ring camera in his backyard to judge himself. Whoa, that's not good. And back to the show.
All right, yeah, there we go. That's the music we all love. You know, it's actually kind of catchy. I got to admit, it's kind of catchy. I don't love the guy. I don't know if he loves me, but we get along around the studio. We were in the break room the other day, shared a quaint conversation over a bagel. I saw something else in the news this week, something in the pop culture zeitgeist, and I wanted to get more information. Just wanted to talk about it. You know, there used to be a part of my career. There was a time in my career where I was paid to talk about movie news and movie trailers and watch them and give, predictions on what we thought was going to happen or if one movie was going to be better than the other, because life is always competition. That's the best way to discuss art. And, you know, it was a horrible time of my life. I was really depressed. But, you know, talking about movies sometimes was fun. So I wanted to talk about movie trailers. There's a movie trailer that came out this week, and it looks interesting. I have some questions about it. It is this movie, Blonde, starring Annie Dermis, and it is about Marilyn Monroe. We all know Marilyn Monroe, of course, JFK's wife, and she was a movie star, and not a lot of good things happened to her, but she did have a song about her by Elton John. Not a bad trade-off, if you ask me. Anyways, I thought, what a perfect... time to bring in this guy. He's on the network with me. Here he has a show, Inside Tinseltown. We also have him do his Hollywood Memories on here. You know him. It is your friend, not necessarily mine, Dutch Allen. Dutch, how you doing?
Hey, it's Dutch Allen, Ken, and you've got Go Picture. You got Go Phone Call. This is weird, Kenny, because I'm actually in the studio right now doing some work in the other recorded space there. But Petey said you'd prefer me to call in. You don't want me on the microphones with you. So I'm calling in from that break room where we were talking the other day. And I got to say, for my money, Ken, you know you're a prickly fellow. But I've been in Hollywood a long time and worked with a lot of prickly fellows. And some prickly ladies, and it's all part of the experience, and I got no problem with you. I wish you had less of a problem with me, I'll say that.
That's fair. Look, Dutch, that's fair. Then here's one, I'll say something nice about you to get the conversation going right. For an old guy, for a real old guy, you do not smell like some kind of barbershop cologne, and I like that about you.
Well, okay, now I'll take that, Kenny. Yeah, it's good. I did for years wear the Old Spice, though that was deemed for a long time, for like decades, Old Spice was deemed old and out of touch. It was old in the name, I guess you could say. But then suddenly a new marketing campaign, and they started redesigning some things, new spokesperson. It was a lot of, that was suddenly the hip brand. So I did go back to it for a little bit there, yeah, but no, it's good. My fourth wife was a Gina Tay sales lady. She'd go daughter door, house to house, party to party, selling those bottles of Gina Tay with the black bowl kind of lids on there. So smelling good's a good thing. So, you know, Kenny, I'll take that there. But you want to talk about the Marilyn picture, the trailer that was released, the Netflix film. By the way, the name is Ana de Armas, or Ana de Armas. I say Ana. It sounds more classy, not whatever you say.
Yeah. Look at it. I mean, I had it on my notes here. Annie Dermis. But, Whatever. That's good. Dutch. So you knew Marilyn Monroe, right? Is that true? Is that a rumor I heard that was true?
Yeah, I did a little bit there. It was the start of my career there. I actually did a Hollywood Memories segment on the show a while back about her marriage to Joe DiMaggio there. And, I wore my emotions on my sleeve there, my heart on my sleeve there. I didn't know her, but I spent some time and just a beautiful, sad, tragic, character is, I don't, she's a real person there, but it is that she kind of was this character to all of us there. Tragic indeed, but also at the same time, just a sweet, sweet angel.
Yeah. She lived her life like a candle in the wind, you know?
I can't tell, Kat, if you're mocking Marilyn or Sir Elton John or both, so maybe we just don't do that again, all right?
Dutch, I know every word to the song The Bitch Is Back, so don't you think for a second I was mocking Sir Elton John. Unbelievable.
All right, I apologize, Kat. I apologize. I'm a big fan of Sir Elton. Knew him before he was a sir. I actually, for a while, used to call him Reggie there. It was a good time. But there was one night, I'll tell you what, there was one night in 1981 that Elton and I and some friends, we got together. We had a late-night hamburger dinner at Hamburger Hamlet, the one that used to be across from the Man's Chinese Theater, not the one farther down on Sunset. I know a lot, that one's a famous one as well. But there used to be one across the street for the Grauman's Theater, as it was called there at the time. And we, I got to tell you something.
It's not your show today, Dutch. It's not your, it's my show. I don't want to hear your stories, but how you, Charles Grodin, you know, got drunk down at the bowling alley and woke up in each other's pants. I don't want to know. I don't care. Not this time. It's my show. I got questions about this Marilyn Monroe movie. You've got me flummoxed.
You don't want to retake that one there? You don't want to go back and re-record that part of the segment?
Re-record? This is a live radio program, Dutch. What are you talking about there? This Trailer Blonde, It looks interesting. I get what it's going for. Like you said, Marilyn's a character. She's sitting there talking to Bobby Cannavale, whose son is in Star Wars, unfortunately. And he's asking her, how'd you get your start? And she's like, I didn't get my start. Who am I? You know, like, I'm not a real. So I get that might be have something to do with the real thing there. I get that, Dutch, but I've seen that before. I've seen that before in movies. Do we really need to go down this path now?
I thought I was coming on here to talk about Marilyn there, but I did see the trailer for the picture there. Where exactly did you see it before there, Ken?
Man on the Moon. Bow, bow, bow. This summer, Jim Carrey is Andy that one. When he's telling Courtney Love, like, there is no real me. That I've seen that before. You know what I mean?
I knew Andy Kaufman. I actually gave him a tip one time when he was a busboy at Jerry's Deli down the street on Ventura, Studio City. I didn't know it was him until I gave him a 20 spot, and he returned $11 of it and said, "Sir, you overtipped me there." That's the kind of guy he was and how he was with money for himself and for others. I enjoy Andy Kaufman a lot there. I saw that picture. It's a Milos Forman picture. Milos and I, we go
way back. I get it. I don't care. Am I wrong in thinking that? Man on the Moon, Blonde, same movie.
They say media literacy is dead there. I saw a very successful movie YouTuber praise the Pizza Rolls Wisconsin guys in their Star Wars video, which is one of the worst pieces of lack of insightful crap out there, and this guy praised it and said he aspires to be like that. So media literacy is apparently dead there, and I know you're not in the movie news or movie criticism game, but no, Blonde, the picture about Marilyn Monroe, kind of, which I thought we were going to get into that too, the truth versus reality, the picture Blonde, and then the Milos Forman picture, Man on the Moon, with Jim Carrey as Andy Kaufman, and Danny DeVito as George Shapiro, I might add, who was great in that picture as well. A big fan of Danny DeVito. He and I did go bowling once, and we got so drunk on Coronas at the bowling alley, he dared me to use him as a bowling ball. I stuck three fingers in three holes, and I bowled him. Picked up the split, believe it or not. True story. But they're not the same picture. Jesus. Like, are you watching the things before you spout off on the internet about the things you saw there, the media you watched?
I don't understand what you're saying, okay? If I don't understand it, I don't dig deep, and then that's what I base my movie review ratings on. It's how successful YouTube movie critics do it. Duh, Dutch.
I've never met a successful YouTube movie critic that doesn't at least partially want to drive their car off a pier. So I don't take a lot of that with great salt. I thought we were going to talk about Marilyn. Can we talk about Marilyn?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a movie. A lot of people seem to be complaining about this picture. So now I'm speaking like you, Dutch. Movie. And that the trailer, you know, it looks to be a little fictionalized, but it's a movie. And it also has an NC-17 rating, which I personally like. What do you think?
I don't want to know why you like that. I don't really want to know.
Because Annie DeArmas is hot. Like, why? You can't do the math there? Annie DeArmas is hot. Or even when she was in the Knives Stab picture, and she was, like, dressed down. Hot. Like, what? NC-17? Sign me up. Right? Am I wrong?
I can't exactly point to where you're wrong, but yes, I'd like to think you're wrong. Here's the problem. Here's, if I'm reading into it, I haven't read every tweet about this subject here. I think the concern might be that you've got, you got this subject matter, Marilyn Monroe, who we all know is very well documented. She was made one of the first big megastars in the world, a glamorous, sexy movie star, a starlet, which was the template for a lot of things to come, but it came at the cost of her own existence, I think her own identity, who she was as a person. She got caught up in so many things that eventually, no matter what you think led to her death, whatever details or who was involved, or was it salacious, was it accidental, there's just all of it factored into her life and her tragic ending. Which, to tell you, still hurts me. It still guts my soul. I think that's part of the problem. I think people are worried. Based on the book or who had access to her or what the story was, I don't know. I haven't followed that trail. I'll leave that to the movie news, quote-unquote, professionals that you used to be a part of there. I got to tell you that I think the worry is with an NC-17 rating that might make the movie have, put in a position where there's some sexual situations, to say the least.
That's what I'm saying, Dutch. Yeah, right?
No, right. Not right, Ken. That's that you might be doing. If you're doing a movie about Marilyn and you want to give some justice to this person, to the Norma Jean of it all, if you will, maybe an NC-17 rating might indicate there's some salacious use of sex, sexual situations. It's almost like you're putting Marilyn into the same position she was in her life, an over-sexualized sex pot at the cost of her own identity. You know what I mean? And she was a beautiful woman, and she was a sexy. She was all those things, but that's all she was to so many people. I think that might be the worry with an NC-17 rating.
Look, that sounds really deep and smart and all, but it's Annie DeArmas, and she's Marilyn. Like, push it to X, as far as I'm concerned.
That you definitely don't have go picture there for me, and I think it shows that you might be secretly a rather depraved individual, which is in line with a lot of the people in the YouTube movie community, those that I know, things I can't say, those who have done horrible things but see their channels grow and grow and grow. I almost want no part of this anymore. In fact, I want no part of it. Thank you for the time, Ken. I'll see you in the hallway.
Why does everyone hang up on me? Am I that bad of a person? Really, seriously, Petey, am I that bad of a person?
Yes. Yes, you are.
All right. On with the show. And now it's time for the list. Today, we've got the best ways to eat leftovers.
Number 3.
Take great care to warm everything up individually on a stovetop before just dumping everything into one microwavable bowl and pressing start on a 5-minute timer.
Number 2.
Look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that all of your life's choices didn't lead you to this moment in which you have to eat 3-day-old pasta to save money.
Number 1.
Eat them tomorrow. Order a pizza now.
Clink, clink.
And that's the list.
Welcome to Del Taco. May I take your order?
Actually, no. I don't really want anything. I'm not hungry. I had leftover vegan meatball spaghetti. Can I just talk? Can we just talk? Do you have time for me to talk to you?
Sir, there's a minivan behind you with 8 kids who just finished soccer. I think they want some soft tacos.
Yeah, well, they're kids. They got a long time before they die. Let's talk. I need a friend, man. I don't feel good about things, man.
Then might I suggest our strawberry milkshakes that you always order? Kind of almost in place of water.
Yeah, actually, that sounds good. I'll take 2 of those.
Oh, that's great, sir. Anything else, or will that hopefully conclude your order?
Look, I just feel that you and I know each other. Like, I'm always talking to you. You kind of know my inner desires more than anyone else, you know?
Well, sir, I do know that you want an excessive amount of Del Taco regularly, so if that counts as knowing you, I guess that does.
Yeah, see, you get me, man. You get me.
What the hell was that?
Oh, the studio I work at, they got a new like soundboard. It has all these cool like effects on it. So I actually ripped it out of the board and I took it with me. Hey, all right.
I just might be a minimum wage fast food employee, but I don't think you can do that, sir.
Well, I did it. Yeah, so anyways, to my greater point, I just figure, you know me, man. I just don't feel good about where a lot of things are going with my career and my show. Like, I feel as though I'm putting 75% effort in when I think the fans are demanding no less than 82, you know?
I think people have probably followed you long enough to know that 75% is pretty much all you're capable of. I wouldn't worry about it.
But, that's a good point, though. The standards are kind of low.
Well, you set them there, sir. I imagine. I don't know. I don't really listen to your show.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one. It's pretty much just this guy in Long Island and then this girl who listens to it on 8-speed. That's about it these days.
You can do that? You can speed up podcasts?
Apparently. I've never listened to a podcast my entire life, but yeah, apparently you can.
Oh, it changes everything. I listen to the Star Wars podcast that has 3-hour episodes on Jar Jar Binks. I love it, but I want to get through it faster so I can get to work on time.
Yeah, you sound like a Star Wars fan. So anyways, I have a passion for the show, but I just sometimes don't know if my energy does, and that's just the reality, right?
Okay, sir. Can I move you along? There's that minivan behind you, and now there's a BMW, and those are usually really mean asshole drivers, so maybe we can talk some other time.
I just get in my head, you know, and maybe my shows are being received just as they need to be, and I should get out of my head about it and just kind of accept where I am in life and be happy with what I have and what I can create and what I can put out. That seems like health. That's a healthy thought, right?
Sounds great. That's 6:13 at the next window, sir.
But then other days, I just don't want to go in the studio because I just feel, I don't know, almost ashamed, you know? Like almost ashamed of what I do and almost ashamed about what is the lack of quality, you know? Sometimes I just don't want to go into work.
That's literally every day of my life, sir. It's okay. You get used to the emptiness.
Like, I don't even want to go back in the studio and finish today's show, you know? Like, I just don't want to do anything.
Are you saying you're quitting your show, sir?
Dear God, no. Have you seen my ego? No. I if two people love it, that's two people that make me feel alive. No, I'm not quitting the show. It's just a little exhausted.
Okay, sir. Well, hopefully then we'll complete your order. We can talk some other time. I find this sometimes, sir. Just maybe you don't need to be as harder on yourself as always. And sometimes you can just take a little time off. And that's okay. I call out sick to work at least twice a month. They won't fire me because they can't find anyone to work here.
That is a great idea. You know what? Actually, I got an idea. Here, can you... I'm gonna come around. I'm gonna drive around to the first window. Okay, hold on.
Sirs, okay, okay. That means you're gonna pay. That's great. Okay, okay.
All right. Hey, good to see you. Good to see your face again. Yeah, you know, I often don't look up when I pay you because you're the help. Look, I don't want to go back in the studio, but could you read this? Could you read this?
You want me to read this? I think I've actually done this before. You want me to do it again?
Great, then you're an expert. Read this, and then I'm getting out of here. I'm going to kick off my shoes, play some video games, and just kind of veg out for the next year, all right? Wonderful.
Oh, look, okay. Why am I hearing music this time? Okay, that's the show, everyone. It's episode 84 of Saturday Night Napsuck. Special thanks to all the Patreon supporters, especially Vermont Mike for this week's Morning Drive Media Station Identification. You could support at patreon.com/catnapsuck. Big thanks to associate producer Sean Arnold for all his help. Check out Sean's Tee Public shop at tpublic.com/user/tsean. If you like music, you can listen to Ken on Hall of Fame Music Radio in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and also on their website, hofmradio.com, and you can check out Ken's music show, Pop Rock and Radio on Mixcloud. I like a lot of music. I like Blink-182. You can visit kennapsuck.com for more information. Follow him on Twitter at kennapsuck or mdrivemedia. I think I found out he blocked me once. Be sure, as always, to tell a friend about Saturday Night Knapsack, a show so real it had to be fake. And as always, remember to live, no, to love, laugh, he dropped some sauce on this. Laugh responsibly. Bye.